Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that he's doing through his faithful people. The Lord can use faith like a tool in his hand. He works through our faith. Everything he does and everything we do is by faith. The Lord loves faith. Faith is very important to the move of God. Faith is the highest form of sincerity. It's a definer because it is the highest form of sincerity. It's back at the garden, the Lord told Adam, "No need off the tree. You can eat off any tree but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day you do, you shall surely die." What would have happened if Adam had taken the Lord at his word? He had all the evidence to take God at his word. And he had no evidence to take the serpent at his word, which was inspired by Satan, his enemy. What if he was on guard to stop the words of his enemy? What if he was aware that there was an enemy out there? And he had the clue because the Lord said in the fourth commandment, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. The fourth commandment was subdue it. That gave him a clue that he had an enemy. And then he said, and have dominion over it. In other words, take this kingdom that I've given you, this whole world, and run it. And do it according to the pattern I've given you, which is the Garden of Heaven. The Garden of Heaven represents the life of God. It puts things in a position where it can do better and better. Everything that God did, all of his creative abilities, was in seed form when you saw the Garden of Heaven. This same love that washes its brother's feet was found in the garden. It was set up so every living animal, every person, could be blessed by it. The other reference Jesus said, faith is like the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed, smallest seeds among herbs, but it becomes, it's the smallest seed and becomes the greatest herb. The Garden of Heaven represented the heart of God, God's plan for us, his blessing, even his warning, so that it can continue. As long as Adam didn't eat off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he had all the references that gave him vision and inspired him to operate by his faith. He had all the clues up to the insight of God, just like we do with the Word of God. The Word of God is filled with clues of how God put things together. Even the universe, the family structure, the way he do things, the needs that's out there. God raises up people like Gideon, Jephthah, at strategic times to perform a specific purpose. And anybody that will believe him, I watch those who believe God and take him at his word, because I expect to see something mighty happen from him. Because God doesn't waste good. And people who believe him, take him at his word in a consistent fashion, they are those who God will use mightily. All the clues were in that garden. The vision of God, the heart of God, was represented. Even that serpent was his handiwork. And the serpent was beautiful, I believe. And he had legs. He was actually in the class of cattle. But I don't know what he looked like. I believe he was beautiful. But he was the most subtle. He was the one that the enemy could use. Some people are like that. They're beautiful. They're cunning, clever. But the enemy can easily persuade them. God made them in his image. I'm not talking about the serpent, but people. Even though God made them in his image, they side wrong. They find something in the world that they like more, that they put more in higher regard than God. When that happens, they start making decisions against God. Because you're going to serve what you love the most. Whatever it is, whatever you love the most, that's who you give your allegiance to. When people start sinning, sin becomes their master. I watched people that get on drugs for years. That was a time I lived right across the street from a crack house. And when people get on drugs, they spend all of their energy to get drugs, to do nothing but get drugs. Once they're hooked, they become the drug lord's slave. They will do anything. They will sell tools. They will steal. They will do anything. There's prostitution happening. All kind of foolishness. To get drugs. Just to get drugs. Now, that's not God's will. Sin is their master. When people drink and smoke, it doesn't matter if they have a job or not, they will always have a cigarette. When people smoke, they always manage to get cigarettes. If they lose that job, they get cigarettes. If they go to jail, they find a way to get cigarettes. And beer. I've watched that all my life. Sin becomes your master. Now, in these examples, these things take you away from the heart of God. And then you can't learn God's ways and master it. You need an anointing to come back. Or you need the word of God, which is anointed, and you believe it. And then people want God and they believe God. And then a healing process begins within. And all their satanic, sinful appetites start going away. Now, once they believe on Jesus Christ, their heart is made complete. Their heart is new. And they have no appetite from the spirit, from the heart. But their mind is the same mindset. It takes time for people to stop saying ugly words, doing the things that they were doing. It takes time for the body has the same appetites. It doesn't change much. It doesn't change at all. The only difference is it's got a new boss. Let's take a company for instance. A business. They had a sorry boss. They had a corrupt boss. Sorry, Joker. He or she was miserable. And the owner of the company said, they fired him, got him out of the way, and got a new man in there, or a new woman that loves God, that's good at what he do, or what she do. They got a boss that will do what's right. Now, in due time, the whole company will take on that personality, because whoever's in charge of something, eventually the whole thing will take on that person's personality. If they're sneaky, people will be sneaky. If they're thieves, people will start stealing, beginning with the people who are the most prone to steal. And if they're honest, people will learn and they will start being honest. That's how I learned this from listening to the Lord had me listening to First Samuel all the way to Second Chronicles over a period of about 6 months. And it just came to me that whenever people are in charge of something, whatever they're in charge of takes on their personality. And we're no different. When a man gets saved and he's cleansed in the blood of Jesus, he's been given a brand new heart, brand new spirit. That person, he's got a new boss. And then the Holy Spirit lives inside his heart to guide him. So now he has a new boss with counsel. He's got a new boss with counsel. And just like any business, church, anything that's headed by a person, when they have a new boss, a new leader, a new pastor, that receives counsel from the Lord, they don't just automatically change, they slowly change. After the first meeting, they know they got to change their ways, but it takes time for a mindset to take a back seat. It takes time for people to make adjustments. So during that time, the place will look about like it always did. But over time, that healing process has started at the head, and they are going forward. And they're seeing the benefit of doing right. Now, people who had a sorry boss and they had a lazy, and let's say the boss was lazy and the people became lazy. Every time people get lazy, they get in strife. Because when at any place of employment, when somebody's not doing their job, it's harder on everybody. And then they complain. And then they get in strife. And wherever there's strife, every evil work follows. It just depends on how deep it goes. But when people start doing their job, the morale starts going up. And people start seeing the benefit of doing better work. And when you see people doing the same work and they're doing better work than you, it provokes you to do better. Because first that people get mad, they say, well, you're making me look bad because you're doing so much. Slow down. I've heard people say that. That's a mindset. But if you keep on, then they don't want the spotlight on them. Every time people operate in darkness, they don't want the light. When the truth comes in, then people start getting on their toes. But when they do, they realize it's better. Because that's serving. They're more valuable to the company. They're more valuable to at home because they're making more money. They don't feel like they are stealing anymore. And that's a load off. Over time, when there's a new boss, things start happening. All right. When a person first gets saved, they're sleeping in the alley. They're doing all these things to get drugs. They get saved. Then they have life within. Their body still craves the miserable drugs that caused them to be miserable in the first place. And they start seeing it for what it is. And they start praying. And they start receiving help. They get better counsel. And eventually they come to a place where they can listen to the Holy Spirit within. And then they start doing better. They start working. Their appetites for the drugs or wine or whatever it was diminishes. And their appetite for God grows. And they get stronger and stronger. And the next thing you know, they're working. And they don't have to sleep in the alley anymore. And they don't ever want to go back. And eventually they start buying things, cars, furniture. Eventually they get married, children, better job, testimony. They talk about what happened and what they went through. A healing process And they're talking about it, inspiring others.
Power off.
This is very important. That was my Bluetooth speaker. But they start doing better and better. The healing process has begun. And it's God's will that everybody heals and goes forward. A healing process. God wants the best for us. He wants us to do what He does. He wants us to live no different than Him. So when you go forward in life, doing things God's way, that healing process begins. The Garden of Eden was a representation of heaven. It gave Adam the insight he needed to do the same thing in his life, within him, and also on the earth. It benefited all the cattle, all the insects, everything God made was benefited by the Garden of God, the Garden of Eden. Now, Lucifer had the same clues because in his day, it was called Eden, the Garden of God. So when God planted a garden eastward in Eden, which was a smaller version of the one that was built when he first started, you know, you see the pattern that the same pattern of Adam was done in Lucifer's day. This was the same pattern. Lucifer had the same reference because in Ezekiel 28, it said, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, man is made a little lower than the angels. So God took a portion of that place and made a garden in Adam's day. And it was called the Garden of Eden. Same place, smaller garden, same reference. And Lucifer had more information than Adam did. Adam had less information than Lucifer did. And you have to understand that because Lucifer was an angel and Adam was made a little lower than the angel. And the reason is Adam was in the same position that God was in. Lucifer knew about things that Adam didn't know yet. He was in the position, in the very identical position that God was in the beginning of his way, before God made all the stars. If you want to understand God, you got to look at Adam, because God said that he made him in his image, in his likeness. See, God started off even with less information than Adam. He always was. And that's so mind-boggling to never have a beginning. He is the beginning and the end. Alpha and Omega. But in Proverbs 8, it teaches that in the beginning of his way, he chose wisdom. He chose love, wisdom, purity, holiness. And that's how he... And so in Adam's beginning, he had those same references that the Lord had, because the Lord was able to use his mind and imagine these things. And he chose the right way of doing things. And he built heaven where it will really work. When people are lazy, that laziness is a death. And it causes all kind of problems. It causes people to die. Your muscles get weaker. We covered that. But when you follow God and you live to serve and be a blessing to others, that's life, pure life. And when you operate in life, you do things that can't be done by others who choose the lesser road. So with the healing process going forward, the man becomes, just like the company becomes under the personality of their better boss, so it is with us when we are looking to the life of God. Now I always say when you look to the Lord, if you're singly looking to the Lord, He's your ultimate goal. He's the one you're trying to please. He's the one you're receiving knowledge from. Just like the employers are looking to their boss, they become like their boss. So it is with us when we look to the Lord, we become like Him. And we're already designed, every person is designed to represent Him. Because we were made in His image. Even the most foul people, they are made in His image. And the wisdom they use is what He gave them when He created them. But they just chose the wrong role and they look foolish. But they were still originally made in God's image. And if they get saved and walk and start looking to the Lord, they'll become like Him. And in all actuality, they'll be what He intended them to be. My pastor talked about all these people that are in jail. They're artists. They have, see, one of the guys at church have a prison ministry, and they go to the prison. And he said he saw some of the best looking artwork. He heard some of the most anointed people, praise worshipers, in prison. What happened was, while they were in the world, they got into something, and the enemy hijacked their life, got them to do something stupid. And now they'll never get out of jail, unless it's a miracle. But once they got to know God, they became what God intended them to be. And if they were out of jail, they'll do a great move of God. But the enemy got them out of the way because he was afraid of them. He can suspect when people love God and what they're capable of. So he tried to get them off the scene. He tried to do me the same way. He tried to get me to kill somebody because I was angry, and the Lord helped me not do it because my parents prayed for me. There were several times he tried to kill me. He tried to get somebody to kill me. Tried to get me to kill somebody else. These were different events. He put me in danger. I went across the median before in a car. My life was spared. I got hit on a motorcycle on the freeway, slid for several yards, probably about 30 yards. And I called Jesus' name, and I knew I was going to be all right. He tried to get people in a tangle before he has to tangle with them to get them off the scene. We have an enemy. And even in the garden, there were things that represent the fact that we have an enemy. That's probably the purpose of that serpent. He was his morale was the lowest, but he wasn't sinful yet. He was the most, you know, something. The Lord has to give us a representation. All animals are not; they don't act wise. Some of them act real stupid, so we'll know not to do it. The squirrels, they're panicky. They run in the middle of the street and they can't make up their mind which way to go, and they get hit by a car. All right, we see the squirrel can't make up his mind. Why don't he just go across the street? All right, that's wisdom for us. But in the trees, that's the best acrobat God made. They are amazing when they're in the trees, but when they're on the ground, they're very panicky. And it's supposed to let us know, don't be like that. So some of the animals in the garden, they may have acted foolish to give Adam a representation of what not to be. Nature has a purpose. It tells a story. Even some people, God don't give them all of His marvels. He give people portions of His knowledge. And we can glorify God if we just love Him. And He can take some of the most foolish looking people to say profound things. And it provokes people to start learning. Just like on that job, a person that's slacking, they're working beside somebody that's putting out double the production that they are. And then they get provoked and, hey, you finna make me lose my job. I got to do better. And they mad because they got to work. But then they find out working is better. They're less idle. They don't keep confusion up. They have something to do. They feel better about themselves. All the rewards of serving mankind is known when somebody start doing right. There's a death in being sorry and lazy. You make people hate their job when you act like that. You make people, you know, you aggravate the boss. You provoke everybody by being sorry. And they can't wait till you retire. When you retire, everybody ought to be, they ought to wish you was back. And if you, and when we follow God, that's the way it'll be. You'll be missed. And you know, the love of God is deeper than all things. When we act, when we look at Him and we behave like Him, we change everything. The healing process expands as we operate according to the love of God. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the, you know, the generous way is the way of God. And that's what the Lord desires in His people. People who love God and put Him and keep Him first, they do things that others can't do. And you don't have to compromise. Now, the last broadcast, we talked about how when people get in fear, they do things, they use fear tactics. And they, even like the tithe, if, every time you get in fear about something, you are, whenever you're in fear, Satan is attached to your life. Fear always attaches Satan somewhere. So what has to happen is you have to decide to rest in the Lord and trust Him. Trust doing it His way. Don't trust the fear of the world. That, you know, you don't have to coerce people into doing what's right. If you do what's right, and tell them about what's right. You can. It's good to teach about the blessings of tithe, but tell them the things that God really wants, which is obedience. And once they become, they have a heart to be obedient to God, you won't have to worry about whether they tithe or not, because that's what they're going to want to do, and nobody will stop them. And they'll understand it, they'll benefit from it. But if you coerce people into it, that's like coercing people into worship, and they really don't want to worship. So if they really don't want to worship, it's really not worship. And if they really don't want to tithe, it's really not tithe. And it's not going to benefit them the same. But those who truly tithe, because they love God, they love the, they're looking at, I'm being a blessing to the, you know, we have a church that people, that families can come to. Hard-headed cousins, uncles, and fathers and mothers can come and be blessed. I'm talking about people that are reluctant. When they come to a place and it's clean, it's a good atmosphere, you have heating and air, you have lights, people are hearing the word, seeing miracles, that helps them change. Now, that stuff costs money. And when you say, well, I'm going to contribute because I know that this is something of God. And when you do it the right way, you're trying to be a blessing. And all the rewards of tithe is just a bonus to you. But when you try to stir people up, if you don't give, the enemy going to tap your house, your car, your washing machine. Fear tactics. You don't have to do that. And first of all, the Lord gave us authority over the enemy. And if you don't want him to tap your washing machine or whatever you own, just tell him he can't do it. But when you tithe, God is involved in your finances. And you'll see His wisdom in your life, in your finances. It's a blessing. And if you ask Him, He'll help you anyway. But he said, if you give sparingly, you'll receive sparingly. You don't want to just receive just enough all your life. God is good, so you're going to receive something. And you're going to always be able to contribute. But it's a blessing in doing it God's way. And it's wrong to muzzle oxes treading the corn. This man's being a blessing to you. He's full-time working, trying to help your family, counseling people. He need to be paid. That's elementary. That's first grade. He shouldn't have to ask anybody to help him. But some people are stubborn. God always helps us as we go forward in the love of God. Allow his love to run deep in your heart, because God has so much. The healing process can go so much further as we cooperate with him. Well, we're out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in our lives and bless us. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus is.